In Genesis, when it's recorded as creation was being spoken, at that point, he spoke over what he spoke into being, then he blessed it. Part of the blessing was to his creation of humanity. He blessed it, told it to continue on, to propagate, to fill the earth, to have dominion over everything else he created. And he spoke that as a blessing. That blessing has never stopped. It perpetuates. His word and his voice and his blessing into what he created is continual. Does not, at night, does not the sun go down? In the morning, the sun come up where there's night and there's day. That was part of creation. It's still happening, isn't it? Perpetual. It keeps going. His word is true. When he speaks it and he blesses it, and it continues and it works and it works and it works and it works. I've been on a thing for about a month now. Let some of it deposited some of it in Dyersburg a couple weeks ago. On a Wednesday night, we spoke a little bit about it a couple weeks ago, and I can't get off of it. It's still on me, and I'm going to keep talking about it until it's out of me and off of me. Psalm 133, 1 says, "I see how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in harmony." Harmony produces a good and pleasant atmosphere. Harmony. What is it when a song, when you have five or six instruments playing different chord structures, and yet it sounds amazing? It's harmony. When four voices just sing with no instruments, and they all take their part, it's harmony and it sounds good. It's pleasant. When it's not in harmony, you don't want to hear it. You don't want to listen to it because it grates on your nerves. That's how dysfunction is in the earth. It grates on our nerves. It causes amazing frustration and anxiety in our lives. Disharmony is not good. Harmony is awesome. See what this is. This is not, he's not saying it is. He's saying it's like. So harmony and unity and oneness is like fine scented oil on the beard, running down down Aaron's beard, running over the collar of his robes. And verse 3 says it's like dew. It's like dew on Mount Hermon, dew which comes down on Zion's mountains. That's where the Lord promised the blessing of life and life forevermore. The blessing began in Zion. Unity and oneness, he says, is like the dew of Hermon that comes and refreshes. Those who know that region say that the dew that comes off of Hermon is a very cool and refreshing, relief to those who are in the valley, who are working in the heat and toiling through the day. And when that dew and that refreshment comes down through the valleys, it says it changes life. That's what Zion is. That's what he says. Zion is like the unity and the oneness that comes from Zion, where the blessing was spoken out of, where life was produced. It comes out of Zion. Zion, we hear it of as a mountain, but then it's also talked about as the abode of God. It is where he is, his presence. So we have a promise from Zion, from God's abode, that words come forth and have been blessed. And as the blessing proceeds, it's continual and it's refreshing. It comes down through the valleys of our lives and refreshes us. Does anybody need refreshing? I do. I need it continually. I'm never so refreshed that I don't need any more, because I'm still housed in this being. As long as we're housed in this being, we're going to need his touch and his refreshment. out of his presence is where the blessing is commanded. Life. Life. Everything we talked about this morning, everything the worship team did, everything that came forth from the heart of God this morning was about life. Life. Not what a lot of us consider is life. Remember, I just earlier, I said about the thing of self-love. When you live a life of self-love where you're just pleasing yourself all the time with goods and things and people and all the friendships and relationships, some of that stuff is good. We need relationship. But if that's how you're medicating your life and God and his grace and goodness is not part of it, then we're not going to have much. It'll only last for a temporal moment, and then it's gone. And then we'll be looking for something else. We need his refreshment. We need his life on us. I want to tell you about a dream. But yeah, I trust dreams. I didn't used to think much about them until my wife was given the gifts that she has with dreams, and I started taking a little more care about dreams I had. This particular dream was very unique because it's changing my life. As minute as this dream is, it's turning me to a different way of seeing something. It's awakening me to something, put it that way. The dream was, you know how dreams are. You're just somewhere all of a sudden, and you can't figure out where or why. You're just there. And it was a house, and I was walking in, and then I was observing, and it was filled, and I'll try to explain as I go what I believe the interpretation is. It was filled, well, not filled, 8 or 10, 15, but it was pretty full of the younger generation. I say that 20 to 30. Girl, guy, nothing special, just girls, guys. They were all of one color. There was no black, there was no white, there was no Asian, there was no, you know what I mean, they were all one color. And in the dream, you know how dreams are, you just know, that was right. There was something right about it. But I watched them because what really caught my attention was they were speaking to each other, but they were speaking to each other in song. And when one would go to leave, they were all singing the same song. The one who was leaving out the door would turn around and he would sing the same song that they were singing to him. The words were the same. And I knew in the dream they were blessing each other. When one would go out into the journey and he would be away from the fold, he was carrying with him a blessing. But when he was leaving a blessing with them also. And it was harmony. It was voices. They were singing to each other. But it sounded like they were talking. But in the dream, they were singing. And I remember the peace that was in that dream in that house. I believe what God was saying to me is that there is a generation, and I'm not talking about age. I'm talking about the generation that is now in the earth. All of us in this room, we're still part of this thing. We're not in the ground. We're not in sleep in Him. We're still here. This generation has the option of becoming one through blessing. Because that's where and what life started with. Life started with blessing from Zion. We have that opportunity in this generation that is still alive to become one. That's where the color issue came from. There was no color. We were one. It's okay to be individual. That's what we are. We're individuals, but we are individuals to become one. He's not saying that we'll lose our individuality. He's saying, I want you to think, talk, breathe. I want you to be what I'm saying and what I'm doing. I want it to be about me. Most of you here today, this will be the last time you see Nathan as a single guy. Because he's about to become one with another. See, that's a supernatural phenomenon. That doesn't happen. That does not happen. We don't become one without the supernatural happening of Christ and His Spirit into us. That's how we become one. We don't do it because we want to. We do it because He enables us to. He will enable Candace and Nathan to become one flesh, even though they'll be two individuals. Because of His supernatural love and enabling, He'll do that for them, as He's done for many in here. The color issue was nothing because of unity and harmony. The age was nothing because it was unity and harmony. The voice was unity and harmony, and it produced peace. For those who were going out, they didn't know where they were going. That was a sense I had. There was not a fear in it, but I knew when they went out the door that they were going out into perilous times. I just knew that in the dream. They weren't afraid because they were at one. When they went out, they knew that the synergy behind them was with them. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to be. Those who are in perilous places around the earth today should know that we are connected, that we are one voice with them. Just should be. That's the body. The body, if it's disconnected, then it's not a body. It's a crippled mess. It's not supposed to be a crippled mess. We're supposed to think alike and speak the same language. What stirred me up after this dream was this. That blessing in our lives, spoken words that God began speaking way back, the fact that they're still alive through blessing is a great benefit to the body. And I think it's a benefit that we've lost on the most part. Organized religion has its issues. It has its problems. And in some cases, I think it's going away. If you know what I mean by organized. But they had parts. Denominational gatherings had parts of it that were good. And as we've come away from that, we've lost some of those things that were good, I think. I heard a statement last night that I thought was really caught my ear. It was like, wait a minute. Some people were talking and they said, you know, are you spiritual or are you religious? So I want to hear that. And the idea of it was, because I've been thinking, religious, I'm not going to be religious, we're going to be spiritual. But their point was coming from a different place. They said, if you're spiritual, then you're not responsible to anyone or anything. I'm spiritual. That sets you apart by yourself, that I'm not connected and I'm not responsible to anybody else. That was the point they were coming from. But to be religious was that I will do what's right, and I will continue to do it, and I will not stop doing it. I'll be religious in what I'm supposed to do. The body needs some of that back in the shape of things to form the family back again, because the family of God is detached. We've got family members down the street. We got family members down this street. We got family members down that way. We've got family members all over the place, and we're not talking the same language. Blessing needs to come back into the body. We need to be in harmony with each other, and we need to begin to receive and give blessing. Blessing is simply this. Well, let me just say it this way. It's rooted in oneness. It's in harmony and peace. Blessings are spoken with agreement with what the Creator desires because they originate from Him. This was something a long time ago that He began when He spoke out of Zion and Prince said, life evermore. A blessing is a statement of goodwill and happiness that is said about another, as well as the condition that fulfills those good words. Now listen to this. God's original design and creation was for His creatures, including mankind, to experience prosperity, peace, and fulfillment. That was His original design. He did not create for destruction. He created for good. He created that all would be walking with Him. Sin entered in, and it got messed up. But He made a way that it would no longer be messed up. So why are we still messed up? Something wrong with the way we have received Jesus. He is the answer. And He is the one who is part of that creative blessing. It started from Him. He became our Savior. He saved us from the fall. So the fall should no longer have anything to do with the way we act. Amen? That fallen nature is gone, according to Paul in 2 Corinthians. You're now a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are now new. So, Deb, because you're a believer, all things in you are new. So, that which is of the old nature should not dictate what she does anymore, right? Or me, or you. The old nature should not have anything in us. It does simply because we allow it. We allow it. It's not God's fault when I sin. It's not usually anybody else's fault that I sin. People can play games in that, but I still have that responsibility to say yes or no. I can walk away. Paul says, flee youthful lust, doesn't he? That means we have the ability in Christ to turn and get out of the situation. We do not have to stay. We can go. Statements of blessing are a desire for God to restore His favor on others and a declaration of His inherent and perpetual goodness. That's what I want to just get into us this morning. If I can do anything else and nothing else but get that into us this morning, I need it in me deep so that it is in my words. When I speak, it just is there. Because I want to speak the inherent goodnesses of God into people's lives. I want it to be, even if I don't speak, I want it to come out of me. When I'm around people, I want them to see that, feel that. What's he got? What's he carrying? Why is he at peace? Why does it not bother him? Why does all those questions? I want them to see it in me. But I need to have the ability to speak it too. Statements of blessing are a desire for God to restore His favor on His creation and a declaration of His inherent and perpetual goodness. You see, it's a benefit. It's an advantage to us as His body to have blessing and to be able to bless. It's a benefit. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. All the things that He has just lavishly just given to us. Psalm 116, 12 says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? They're running towards me. They're perpetual. They're moving. All the blessing that He said in life everlasting, it's coming my way. It's coming my way. It's coming my way. I have to dodge it to get out of its way. And yet we don't receive blessing. Sometimes we don't even know what blessing is, because we've lost it somewhere along the line. We are beneficiaries of God's love and blessings. And when we love or bless as God loves and blesses, those we love become beneficiaries of His love also. So if I carry the love and benefits of Him, then when I speak to others, they get the love and benefit of who He is and His blessing. That's what Michael was talking about. Just being in someone's presence and praying for them, releasing love to them, then they start beginning to receive the benefit of God's precious love, precious benefit. Oh my gosh, it's wonderful. We got to get it back in us though. We got to get that in us. Because see, we've made it so hard that then we're almost afraid to go out into the world because we think we have to do something. And they may not receive us. They're not receiving us, they're receiving Jesus. They're receiving love. And there's not, I don't know, I mean, there may be a few that could stand to the very end and say, I don't need love. But there's very few created human beings that will refuse love at its purest motive. They'll take food. When they're down and out, they'll take a loving hand just to lift them up off the ground. That's the nature of man. It's in man to receive. It's in man to receive love, because God blew it out of his breath, and it was supposed to be for all mankind. It's there. It's inherent in people to receive it. But they've gotten so lost, they don't know how to receive it anymore. All we can do then is begin to be those who are beneficiaries and start giving benefit out to you. Just by being a loving human being saved by a Savior that loves them also. It's also this oneness and this ability to want to be one and give blessing. It's also draped in humility. See, God's the author of true humility, even though he is God, and he's also the perfect servant. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Was Jesus not the perfect servant? He was God himself. It is said in Philippians, it was okay with him to come down and give that up, to become part of us. So what? So that we could receive the benefits of the Father. That's why. The benefit of the Father is that you'll be loved. Because he knows that when you receive his pure, perfect love, your life will never be the same. He knows that. That's why he's trying to get it into us. Let's just look at some of the blessings. One of my favorites. Well, let me just say this first. When we bless others, we are invoking the goodness of God over and into their lives. And that's important that you know that, because your voice has power. Is there not? We just tout it all the time. There's power, life, and death in the tongue. We blow that, and we blow it, and we blow it like a trumpet. Do we believe it? If we did, we'd stop cursing people and our own lives with my murmuring and my complaining. I'd stop it. I'm still on this journey, guys. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me also. I'm still on this journey. I'm having to learn how to stop cursing myself when I speak that garbage out of my mouth, when I'm frustrated. But I'm believing it. And it's slowly turning me and changing me. Because on the other side of that, if I really believe that, then it means when I speak a blessing, I invoke it on others, because there's power in this thing, because it's coming out of the heart of God. I won't go any further there. Okay. Numbers 6:24. This is probably my favorite. And what's funny about this is, if you look at the context of this blessing was not even a blessing spoken to anyone at the moment. God was instructing the priesthood how to bless Israel. He said, when you bless them like this. And then the familiar that most of you have heard, the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You know, that's what happens, and it's frightening in a sense, because we become so familiar with something like that we just hear it and say, oh yeah, that's good. I want you to slow down with that. This is what God told the priesthood. When you bless my people, this is what you do. This is what you say. Break it down and just think about it. The Lord bless you and keep you. Well, you don't have to go any further than that. You could spend months on that. The Lord bless you and keep you. There's one in Jude. Now unto him who's able to keep you. God, that alone should cause us to rejoice at levels we've never done before, because he is able to keep you and to keep me. The work he's done on the cross, he's got it. It's over. It's done. He has done it, and he's able to keep you from falling and to present you. Ha, boy. Let's go back to Numbers. The Lord make his face shine upon you. what that means there, and then in the next verse it says, and his countenance be on you. Those words there about his face shining, that means that he's not a stone-faced God who sits there and he's worshiped. It means that when you begin to lean into him, he turns his face towards you. Isn't that precious? That's what God told the priest to begin to do. This is how you bless my people. You tell them, speak over them, say, may my God, may his face shine on you. And God speaking that is saying, this is what happens. When they start doing that and calling on my name, I turn and I put my face on them. And his countenance reflects love. That's the importance of blessing, guys. That's why it's so important. And to be gracious unto you. Remember I said there's this thing draped in humility? You realize what that, when he says, and he be gracious unto you, you realize what that is? Those words there literally mean that you position yourself in humility before one who is inferior. Your God in heaven, who is the God of gods, Jesus, who is Lord of lords, he is saying to you, I'll be gracious to you. I'll humble myself before you. I don't have to because I'm God, but I love you so much, I'm going to humble myself to one who's inferior and serve you. That's love. That's a love that you can't get. You can't get anywhere else but there. That's a gracious love. That's your God. Now when he says, I want you to bless those people, this is talking to the, you know, God talking to the priest saying, this is how I want it done. And then there's a verse that follows that, that puts a nail in this little area. He says, I'll tell you what, you priests, if you'll put my name on my people, I'll bless them. Done deal. Done deal. If you put my name on them, it's done. I'll bless them. Not ifs. If they do this and this. No, he said, if you put my name on them, I'll bless them. Now, what is his name? You've heard it in this house 1,000 times probably. It is his nature, and it is his character, and it is his authority. So he told the priest, when you put my name on someone, I'll bless them. That's why I say it's not always in word, because his nature is not always something spoken. His nature is what you are in the earth. When you have him in your heart and you begin to bless others, it's his nature coming through. So when you put your name on someone or his name on someone, you're not necessarily speaking to him, but you're showing him his love. His nature and his character. So you go back and you look at who he is. Who is Jesus? Because he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if we're going to talk about the Father, Jesus, it's synonymous. They are one. They're alike. They're alike. So you look at his nature and his character. Does he desire bad towards people? No. He didn't die so that people would be hurt. He died so that they could be made whole. So his nature and his character, all the way back from the Father and the origin of all that was done, his desires and nature has always been the same. He wants good for his creation. He wants them to prosper. He wants them to be raised up in wholeness. He wants them to be free. He doesn't want them bound under the law of sin. He created a way for us to have that. That's a precious thing, guys. I'm telling you, that's a precious thing to be able to have the ability, because of him, to go to someone and speak or be into their lives what they need. It's not you they need. You're the carrier. What did Jesus tell his followers? It's not you that they hate. If someone comes against you, it's not you they hate. It's my presence. They don't like me because I'm opposite them. And they're of their, like he told them, they're of their father, the devil. So, you know, when you come into opposition in this, they don't hate you. They just hate the carrier. I mean, you know, they don't hate the carrier. They hate the one who you're talking about, who you represent. And you do. You're ambassadors. Amen? I think it was you, Michael, that brought that out the morning you spoke. I think it was you talking about the importance of being an ambassador for him. It's powerful. It's powerful. Let me move on quickly. A new covenant blessing looks like this. 2 Corinthians 13, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. In verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Verse 14, it's just, that's the new covenant version of my favorite, because it covers everything. And you and I, because we are recipients and beneficiaries of His great love and blessing, have the right to bless others with that same benefit. So when these guys, in fact, almost every new covenant blessing you find at the end of letters that Paul would write and benedictions and all that, almost every one of them, he released grace. almost everyone. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. What is His grace? Why would He say that? It's His enabling. It's His enabling power to cause you to be everything He created you to be. So if you release grace to someone, you've just given them an open door to become all who God made them to be. You see how powerful this stuff is? Blessing someone, simply blessing them. I think it was the other Wednesday night when Ira and Francine were talking about that thing that when you look someone in the eye, don't just blow it out. God bless you. Look in their eye and say, God bless you. Because that's the windows of the soul. Let the words you speak perpetuate from the Ancient of Days all the way into their spirit. Not hard. It's not hard. It's just His nature and His authority. You're putting His name on them. May the Lord bless you. Because if you believe it, that's how you'll speak it. They'll know it's real if you believe it. If you don't believe it, it'll just be words. These are long known to Christendom as prayers and blessings and benedictions. When gathered believers were about to part, see no better holy weight to lay on the being of a believer than the true nature of the Holy Trinity. From the saving grace of Jesus to the powerful love of the Father to the comforting, enabling brother of the Spirit. You put that to someone. May the grace and the love of the Father and Jesus Christ be with you. Release that into them. Release it into people around you. Love them. You know what? Sending somebody a card at the end, sign your name, and then just put on there. May the grace and the love. Just speak it in. Just put it in writing. Let them read it and let it get into their system. It's powerful, and I believe, and I'm coming to believe it even stronger, that this is one of the most powerful things that He intended for His church to have. Because, you know, I told Vicki this morning, I was laying in bed this morning for about an hour just thinking about some of this stuff. And I started thinking, how is this different than a prophetic word? They're connected because it's God's voice. So they're connected. But I feel like the difference, without going into too much study, I believe the main difference is that a prophetic word is a God word for now. When He needs something into somebody right now, He speaks, and it comes in. A blessing is just a continuation of the original word, His original heart towards His people and His creation. That's the only difference. It's perpetual. It's the one that keeps coming from way back. And it goes through. You just, you know, and I know there's some of the stories and the testimonies of your children. And you know what's so cool about all that is because as you were invoking God's love and his presence into your wife when she wasn't, she couldn't produce, invoking that blessing, all of a sudden a seed is there, it grows, now it's fleshed out, we see it, and that's just, it's just that perpetual from way back there when he began to speak, blessing, life, and we perpetuate. We are part of the perpetuation. It comes and it goes. You spoke it into her. Her body continued the speaking. It did what it did. It produced. And that line is still producing. See, that word will never stop. It will never stop. It's going to keep going. That's the preciousness of blessing and benediction. The dream, when people are coming in and going out, when you are in and out of your life, just interacting with people. That's the coming in and going out. Harmony, blessing, harmony, benefit. Let them know that there is a benefit in knowing God. It's because of perpetual blessing. I want it in my life. Hebrews 13:20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work. That's a blessing. May he, as I began, that's what we got excited the other Wednesday night, because all of a sudden we realized that as you're speaking these kind of blessings, you're not only putting it out to someone and encouraging them, you're putting it right back to the Father. Now the one who is able to keep you. You're speaking to him and blessing him for what he's already done. And you're also blessing others. It gets exciting after a while to be a blesser. That's why that song has kept coming back to my heart. Make me a blessing to someone today. I want to be a blesser. I certainly don't want to be a curser. I've lived my life too long like that. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. It's not just that you're blessing others, you're blessing him for blessing you. It's just awesome. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, settle you. Do you know of anyone who doesn't need that blessing in their life? May the Lord settle you. May he establish you. God. Amen. We should all be receiving that. That's just, it's so good. It's just so precious because it's out of his mouth. It's out of his mouth. It's not something we make up. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And like I told you, my favorite, Jude 1:24-25. Now unto him that is able to keep you. Whew. Oh my goodness. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. What a work he did. And then we can bless others with that same blessing, because see, Jude was saying it to people that were going to read his letter. Today I can speak those same words and it's just as alive today as it was then. You hear the reaction just when people hear those words. It pulls their spirit, man. Whew, I got that. I want that. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior. See here, what that blessing's turning right back to him now. Now I start praising him. Unto you be the benefit of who he is. But oh God, thank you that you're the benefit giver. And I'm the beneficiary. Thank you. The only wise God, our Savior, glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Everlasting. See, the guys that wrote that understood the perpetuation of those words. They didn't just start them then. They knew that they were speaking in behalf of what God already said towards his creation. And all they were doing was coming in and joining and laying their part to it, because they knew it was going to keep going right into, and here it is in this generation. It's hitting us. We're receiving it. Oh, it's good stuff. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. At the end, I told you, at the end of almost all the epistles, grace is invoked over the hearer. There's a reason for this. You know, Ephesians 4, you know, we every time anybody talks about unity and oneness, that's where we go. This verse 3, it just says, through the peace that ties you together. See, we should be one. Our voice should be one. Our blessing should be of the same love behind it. You remember the old song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds? That was a benediction. That was the benediction song. That's what they would speak to each other in song as they would leave. Not the early church, but the church in the last couple hundred years. Blessed be the bond that ties our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred mind is like to that above. They understood it, even a couple hundred years ago. They understood the power of blessing. He says, through the peace that ties you together, do your best to maintain the unity that the Spirit gives. This is one of the most powerful ways to bring unity and harmony into the body again, is to begin to bless. Because it's not yours, it's not new, it's from the beginning. There's one body, there's one Spirit, in the same way you were called to share one hope. There's one Lord, there's one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over everything, through everything, and in everything. Which is a blessing of its own that you just got. See, in this day and age that we live in, I believe we should be in the practice of speaking the nature and desire of the Father over and in each other always. Which in turn not only encourages us, which we need, but in belief that the Word is living and there is power of life in the tongue, why would we not speak the oneness and unity of the peace of God into each other? Why would we not? It's there for us. It's alive. His word is living. It's not for just me. It's for you too. So why do I want to hold it to me? I need to share it with you and with others around me. Bless you. Bless you with the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ. There is no greater peace than what he produces. So bless you with his peace. You know what his peace is? It's prosperity. It's finances. It's healing. It's health. The word shalom, you know, in Numbers, when he says, you know, may his countenance be upon you and give you peace. Study that word sometimes. Study the word shalom. And the word peace in the New Testament is not any different in the sense of what it means. It's powerful. To just speak peace over someone alone is literally just invoking a big bundle of God and just on you. And everything that God is, you get. That's amazing. That word's amazing. Is it not time to receive the refreshment of the dew of Hermon? It's coming out of God's. It comes out of where God is. And if you're his, he's in you. He's in you. It's that close. It's not where you have to run somewhere and find it before you can give it. It's in you. So an act of your will, others are blessed. Others receive the benefit of an amazing, amazing Lord. When Father speaks, he speaks words that unify, harmonize, and produce peace. Everything we've just read of these blessings, and there's numerous more. Everything that I just read in these blessings is about you having peace and harmony and living in wholeness. Every bit of it. Why would we not do that? Why would we not follow the apostles and the early church? Why would we not do that? I think it's high time we start speaking one language, caring about each other. If we don't do that, I don't believe we could truly call ourselves followers of Jesus, because that's what he's about. That is what he's about, is blessing your life. If I won't do that for another, how can I really say I carry Jesus? Out of ignorance, I have not done what I should do my life, because I didn't really put some of this together and I didn't listen maybe. But it's changing my life recently. It's changing my focus and my gaze from self-love. Because I'm telling you, I'm eat up with self-love. I love stuff. I love stuff. I love to eat. Don't say anything. But it's self-love. My eating habits are self-love. It doesn't perpetuate any benefit into someone else. Self-love, it ends right here. That's sickness. That's a sickness. Let's not do that. Let's not be eat up with self-love. Because it ends with you. No one gets benefit from it. The only benefit another will get from you is when you put out the love of God to others. And that's what you have the power to do, through the power of blessing. Will you stand and let me pronounce a blessing over you? Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless this group of people. I bless them. I bless them with long life, with health and healing. I bless them with the protection that comes from knowing you. I bless them with strong family ties. And those who have no family, Father, I just pray that others will come into their life that will give them the family tie that they need. I bless them. I bless their children to be able to receive in this world system today, receive what's good and reject what's wrong. I bless their going in and their coming out. I speak unity and harmony over them, that their voice be one, that they'll be known by their love. They'll be known by the peace they walk in. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Take it with you. Amen. Hallelujah. He is an awesome God. Take it with you, guys. I ain't kidding. You'll be surprised. Just as like Michael was telling you this morning, you will just be so surprised when you just start blessing someone with love. It melts the things that are bound up in. I'm telling you, it does. So go and take it with you. Be blessed.